number five. Can you hear now?
Yes.
I'm a bit of a gadget girl.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill, and that's Wendy, and this is our show. Listen all you want. We'll be on till noon.
I got to tell you, you're very cute when you're vulnerable.
Well, all right, for people who don't know, I have absolutely no idea what any buttons do. Not just here in the studio, but even at home. We have things that have buttons, and they're connected to either the internet or electricity, and I'm just not good with any of them. And just seconds before airtime, I realized I can't hear the show, which might not be the worst thing in the world. I can honestly think of a thousand worse things than that. But now everything's back to normal. You said, press a button, see what happens, and I did.
Well, you panicked, and I just said, press button number five. All good.
All right, so should you want to reach us, we're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there, or you can text us there, or stop by the open house that we're having later on here at WGN. Are people allowed to just come in? Or
no.
Oh, they're not? Oh, then don't do what I just said. Please, don't
just come by. You had to enter to win an invite.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Do you listen to the station?
No.
Even while we're on it?
I really don't.
Good for you.
I don't. Do you remember about 2 weeks ago, not during this portion of the show, but during the bonus hour, we had a debate because there's a commercial that's running on television for Jim Beam that features the lovely Mila Kunis and a woman who I don't know, an actress who's not as famous as Mila Kunis. And I said that there's some erotic angle to this commercial.
Sexual undertones, I believe you said.
There's sexual undertones to this commercial.
It was the woman with the bun, right?
Yeah.
That was part of that conversation.
You were in on that, Ryan, so you remember. All right, so for people who have not seen this commercial, here's what it is. This very attractive woman walks into a bar that features, of course, Jim Beam, because they're the people whose commercial it is. And somehow Mila Kunis shows up, and she tries to convince this woman that she should also be drinking Jim Beam, and then she just magically disappears. Now, the version I just described to you has no sexual undertones at all, but when you see it, I'm telling you, there's a lot of eye play back and forth. There's a lot going on there.
She's a very sexual being, I gotta tell you.
Both of them.
Yeah, but more Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
If I was swinging that way, I'd go Mila.
Mila Kunis, yeah. Yep.
Not the other girl in the bar.
No.
Plus, she's alone. She has no friends.
Oh, I don't know. So I like to think that I read too much into stuff, but you're reading way too much.
I've already figured out which one, because you said this to me, and I watched the commercial, and you can look it up. It's Woman in a Bar, Mila Kunis, Jim Beam.
Yeah.
And at first, I
didn't believe me.
Both, I shunned you and Ryan Burrow and said, no, it's just a woman in a bar. You're trying to befriend someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, you know,
watch that, it closer.
Yeah.
And then?
I agree with you guys.
You agreed with us. Yeah.
It's okay, though.
No, it's fine. It's more than fine. It's interesting because there was a time where that probably wouldn't have gone on in a commercial. And now things are a little looser and freer. And everybody who's got a product is trying to do something to stand out a little more. So so that, I think, is appealing. Because you even said when we talked about it, you said, this is a commercial that wants to appeal to women, saying it's okay to go to a bar and enjoy a Jim Beam.
Right. You can go alone and you can drink a Jim Beam.
But also appeals to men.
Yes.
Because Mila Kunis is in it.
Yes.
Mila Kunis and an attractive other woman who are making eyes at each other.
Yes.
I mean, that is just, boy, if I got a look like that.
What would happen?
I don't know.
Anything can happen.
Depends how many Jim Beams I had.
That makes sense. All right.
From Mila Kunis, are you saying?
Yeah. All right. So that said, now I'm seeing a different commercial, not for Jim Beam, but for another one of my favorite products. And see if you can find the, it's very, very subtle. I'm going to warn everybody listening, you really have to pay very close attention to this because it's so, so subtle. But this is for White Castle. Listen to what's going on in the latest White Castle television commercials.
They just had a threesome. So did they. They're going to have a threesome in 15 minutes. $3 bacon threesomes at White Castle. The Bacon Classic 3, the Bacon Breakfast 3, and the Bacon Waffle 3. Now that's a bold move.
Now, to the casual listener,
not so subtle.
There's no way in the world you can find any kind of sexual tension in that commercial. But Wendy, I played it back and forth like the Zapruder film, and I found something.
Oh, my
God.
How
about that?
Okay, you know, I think it's great. Whatever.
It is, but at the same time, don't you think there's a percentage of people who are at home? Now, it airs at various times during the day. I've seen it in the daytime. I've seen it early evening. I've seen it late evening.
You're like a watchdog, man.
That's what I am. I'm the TV watchdog.
Bill left Drummond.
Yes. I'm picking up where John Drummond left off. All right. So don't you think that in at least one or two or maybe more cases, some kid is watching TV with his mom or dad and he says, oh, that's interesting. What does that mean? Why is that? What do you think that means?
A kid already knows what a threesome is.
Really?
Bill, kids know more than we did at that age.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But, all right, so at what age do you think a kid would know what
three?
That means? No. No. No.
He's got three in the...
It's impossible.
Second grade, third grade.
Have you ever had an ad run on television or on the radio where you've had to explain to one of your kids what exactly they're talking about?
Yeah.
And how does that go over? How do you pull that off?
Well, Jimmy Mack leaves the room and lets me handle it.
Hey, where'd Dad go?
And I answer them. I get not so much anymore because of the internet, but I got questions. Like, I'm sure a threesome was asked, and I explained what it is.
And did
three
you explain
people it? Having White Castle.
Yeah, bacon is involved. That's all you need to know. Go to bed. I will never forget the time one of my daughters, we were watching a commercial and it was for some sexual dysfunction, and I had to explain exactly what was going on there, and why are people taking baths next to each other in the garden? I still don't know that.
I can't
help with that at all.
But that's difficult to explain because I really don't even get it.
The bathtub part or the rest of it?
Well, I mean, you know, for years people got by without a little blue pill or whatever it is.
Right.
Is that the Doan's pill? I don't know.
No. What color pills were Doan?
I don't remember.
I don't even know if they still make those, do they?
I don't think so.
Doan's pills.
This is a pink pill, I think.
I don't know what color it is.
Good idea.
Right.
Good idea acting like you don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Get Rafael Palmeiro on the line.
You know how,
Mike Ditka.
But you know how there's that uncomfortable moment where you realize I may have to tell a child a little more than he or she needs to know right now. But I feel that might be happening in some households with this threesome commercial for White Castle. You say no? You say that's impossible?
Listen, a kid who doesn't know what that is just going to think it's like three.
You get three of something.
Yeah.
It's a bargain. And there's bacon. What's better than that? But it's, all right, so here's the fun. I know it's radio, so people can't see it. And there's two different versions of this ad running. In the one that we just pulled the audio from, you see, in the very first frame, you see three office workers together. You see two guys and a girl just kind of having a look like, huh? Huh? Then they show three guys, three construction workers. Then they show three women, three middle-aged women that are exercising. So I don't know if that makes it better or worse when they show those things, especially the first one where you just see these three office workers like, well, you know, we had a long lunch.
Right.
And, you know, things happen. What are you going to do?
Under construction.
Right.
No way.
Pardon our dust. I don't know what that... I have no idea why I said that.
I don't think people... I mean, there are so many double entendres now that it's nothing.
All right, so...
You're really kind of offended by this?
No, I'm not offended by it.
Oh, okay. You just
all.
Wondered what I'm, kids would think?
Not just what kids would think, but... Whenever you sell an ad, there's not just a one or two or three step process. There's a long, long process where people keep having to sign off on it. So I wonder what went on at the meeting where they presented this to White Castle and said, now, just remain seated while we play this commercial for you. You may enjoy it. You may hate it, but we're taking a chance. I like that they took a chance because it's pretty risky territory, right?
I don't think it's that risky anymore.
No.
I don't know. Maybe I'm hardened. I don't know what it is.
Would this ad have run 10 years ago? I know it wouldn't have 20 years ago, but 10 years ago, could they have run this White Castle ad?
Probably
you think
not.
So?
I don't know. Probably not.
I don't know.
I got bigger things to worry about. And now all I can think about is getting some White Castle.
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks a lot.
Yep.
If you were going to talk about it, you should have brought some in. You, me, and Jasmine.
Next time.
Threesome.
All right.
With bacon.
Time to go. It's Bill and Wendy. Oh, you want to call us? You can. We'd love to get your thoughts on this. 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And it's WGN. All right. We're talking about an ad that's been running for a couple weeks now. It's for White Castle Hamburgers, where they're showing you a bunch of people and explaining that they've just had a threesome. And what
can
that
you
means
run
is,
the commercial again, Jazz? Do you have it ready?
Yeah.
We can stall. You know, also Slider could be taken
in a
different way as well.
And I'm surprised these aren't for In-N-Out Burgers, Wendy. All right, yeah, let's run the... All right.
They just had a threesome. So did they. They're going to have a threesome in 15 minutes. $3 bacon threesomes at White Castle. The Bacon Classic 3, the Bacon Breakfast 3, and the Bacon Waffle 3. Now that's a bold move.
Everything's better with bacon, even a threesome.
Even the music they're playing in the background is semi-70s porn.
Yep.
Not quite, but it's in the flavor of. Here's somebody from 219, unnamed. I don't like it. I was somewhat put off by the White Castle commercials. But how about these new Sling commercials? I guess I am old school. I'm not sure what the...
Sling TV?
Yeah, what's going on in those? I don't remember seeing anything for Sling TV that is potentially offensive. Bill and Wendy, the bathtub that you're referring to is to imply that they are naked. Oh, I get that.
Duh.
Yeah, that's easy to discern, but it's still weird seeing... two people out in the garden with bathtubs next to each other holding hands. Every time I see it, I go, I'm not sure what they're going for. I know that they're supposed to be naked. I get that part. But why the two bathtubs next to each other?
And why the bathtub outside?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Sling TV has a little commercial running now. We are slingers. And evidently making it look like they're swingers.
Oh.
What? I just...
That's interesting.
Can we talk to Tina?
Yeah.
She wants to talk to us about this. Hey, Tina.
Yeah, hey, Bill and Wendy. How are you?
Great.
I have
how
a
are
taste
you?
For a White Castle now.
You're doing good. You know, my husband actually made me eat one of those before he would marry me because I don't like them. But I had to eat one, and it was really gross.
That was his... I don't know if you ever saw the movie Diner, but in Diner, one of the characters has a football test before he'll get married.
Wasn't it baseball?
Is it baseball?
I don't remember.
Maybe.
And what's on the flip side of records well?
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. So your test was you had to consume one White Castle hamburger.
Yes.
Was it that bad?
Yes.
Oh, really?
I love them.
All right.
But
well,
actually, what I wanted to comment on that commercial is when I saw it, it was like, it's kind of silly, whatever. But it kind of reminded me way back in 1980 when I was in college and young, I took this class and it was in communication studies and it was looking at how things are sold and advertising and the idea of cross association. And so now they're cross associating something sexual with, you know, what does that have to do with a hamburger and fries? Right,
sure.
You know, and so the big question we had in our discussions was, do you remember what the product is, or do you only remember the, you know, bizarreness of the ad, for example?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in this situation, I'd probably remember the threesome, but would I remember it's necessarily White Castle? I don't know, you know?
Well, I certainly love them, and I swear to God, now on the way home, I'm going to get one. And someone just texted, I'm sitting at a...
Wendy, I didn't mean to poo-poo your taste.
Oh, no, that's fine. Thank you so much for calling. It sounds like an interesting class.
Thanks,
Tina.
Tina.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Someone has just texted, I'm sitting at a stoplight, and there's the White Castle sign advertising threesomes.
Yep.
So pull in.
Right on the building. Good advice, Wendy. There's a phrase in the advertising world, sex sells, and it's true. They use it to sell almost everything.
Tell you, White Castle doesn't need to use sex to sell.
No,
I mean,
the flavor sells itself.
Yeah,
right?
And you're the only kid I know who would have them for lunch.
Yeah, bringing three of them for lunch almost every day.
Honestly, almost every day.
Nearly every day.
And the teachers let you in the lounge to heat them up.
To use the microwave oven.
And they didn't accidentally trip you and take them from you? Because once you smell those onions, oh my God.
Every once in a while, as a reciprocal agreement, I would give one of the teachers one of my White Castles.
One is not enough.
No, it's not. I swear, I've been to White Castle with people who will order one.
No.
And even, like, behind the counter, people in line, their friend, will just go, one White Castle. Yeah, that's all I need. Just the one. No, I've told you this before. When I was a kid, could take 10 down, no problem at all. 10 was my standard.
Yeah.
Now 3 or 4 does the trick. I'm fine with 3.
I like the 2 double cheese and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Maybe a single.
Mm-hmm.
All right, John
Williams. I wish John Williams was here to make sense of this, Wendy.
I can make your dreams come true.
Can you,
and now
please?
We have a White Castle threesome.
Yes.
John Williams on the line.
John, how are you?
No, I can't be part of a White Castle threesome.
Because?
Well, because I'm sorry. I don't think that's a very flavorful experience.
Really? Really?
Proud sponsor of the White Sox, and of they should sponsor this show because we love them.
I love them. I'm
you changed your mind.
White Sox fan.
John changed his mind.
I'm that easy.
Excellent.
I'm that easy, but I just needed to fix you guys on the reference to Diner, which is like in my top four all-time favorite movies. It was a Baltimore Colts quiz.
Yeah, football.
All right, sorry.
Yeah.
No, not just football, Baltimore Colts. She had to pass a Baltimore Colts quiz, and it came down to one question that they got into a disagreement over at the very end because she had flunked the test and the wedding was off. But then he felt like he should give her one of the questions because she kind of had it right. And so then they got married. And the wedding march, as you may recall, Bill, was the Baltimore Colts theme song.
Yes. This was Ellen Barkin, right? Wasn't she the woman in this?
Yes.
Yeah.
What a transformation she's made over the years.
Yeah, how about that?
That is a great movie. And Mickey Rourke, was he Pookie? What was his name? Boogie.
Mm-hmm.
Boogie. Yeah.
That's a great movie.
Love that movie. I have to write that wrong. But as always, a good show, kids.
Thank you so much, John. We'll listen later on.
So long.
That's John Williams, everybody.
He's on at 1 after the Wintrust Business Lunch and after our stream.
Yes. Yes, yes. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news.
Oh, no break.
No break, Wendy.
How about we'll just go right to news because it's early.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bertrand, you ready? I know you had a late start day today.
I will be ready at 10:30, yes.
Steve, you've seen these commercials I'm referring to, right? The White Castle commercials?
No, but they're making me hungry.
I know. All I can think about now is White Castle.
It's so funny. I've talked to two other friends of mine about these commercials, and neither of them have seen them either, but I see them like four or five times a day for some. You've never seen it either?
If they were smart, they'd put three people in outdoor tubs and put a white sack between them.
Now you're talking.
The only reason I saw this commercial is you were sitting there with your grandma sweater on this morning watching it.
I was?
yeah. Look at this.
And pointing a scolding finger at the
screen.
Shame
on you.
Yeah, I was embarrassed.
All right, there is bacon.
Right.
I'll take that.
Right.
All right. You ready yet, Bertrand?
Well, I'm ready, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
it's 10:29, right, and it's news time.
Not quite. I mean, you know.
We're thrown off because I know Jasmine said there were no commercials, but I failed to remember that.
Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Later on in the show, Dr. John Duffy will join us. That happens at 11:05. And Wendy, he'll be talking about one of your favorite things in the world.
What?
Grief.
Why is that my favorite thing in the world?
Aren't you a big Grief fan? Don't you like Grief?
Fan of Grief?
I'm more a fan of Guilt.
You like Guilt more than Grief?
I think so.
Yeah. Maybe we can get him to change his mind and throw in a little bit of Guilt talk, but I know for a fact he will be discussing Grief.
Which do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy Guilt more?
I don't like either of them.
No?
But you're a fan of them.
I'm not a fan of them. That's a weird thing to say.
Sorry.
I don't really understand it.
No?
I don't like to grieve.
No. Well, but you like you like when things are when there's
cancel John Duffy. We've got Bill Leff.
No, don't cancel John.
What? Go ahead.
That's gonna be good. Go ahead.
You like conflict.
That's not grief.
Yeah, but they're in the same family.
Not really. I've lost a lot of people in my life, and I don't really like grief at all.
But grief doesn't only come from losing somebody. Grief comes from worry, from stress.
I think it's about losing people.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're going to talk about.
All right. Don't you think
this is good?
Doesn't this illustrate what I'm referring to, though? Like, you could have said, yeah, grief is fine by me, and we could have moved on. But you like the conflict. You breathe on conflict.
Well, no, I like to play along. I know the old improv trick, but I just didn't understand that one.
All right.
If I say you like rutabagas and you don't, well you'd probably
like
play along.
Just right? Go, yeah, yeah, rutabagas, yeah.
Thinly shaved.
Here's what I have found. These are things, the teenagers get a bad rap. Everybody blaming everything on the teenagers.
That. Do you?
No. These are things that teenagers will never understand because even though we lived through these things, teenagers have not. Here goes.
I love these.
Is this the list out of Beloit?
No, Steve, I can't tell you how much I look forward to that list every year. The Beloit list is all things that if you were born... Did it come out already?
One of the authors of it has traveled with me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'll send it to you.
So the new one has already come out? Because usually it's all over the place. I can't find the new one yet.
I think I have it. I'll look.
All right. All right. These are things that if you're a teenager, you will not understand because you did not live through it the way Wendy did, the way Steve did, the way I did. Here's one of them. Awkwardly asking to speak to the right person during a phone call. So here's how this plays out. Somebody calls your house. They don't want to talk to you. They want to talk to your kid. But there takes it's a moment of back and forth where you're talking to somebody you don't really want to talk to. It's small talk. And then eventually you call them and they come to the phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Because there is no home phone anymore, really.
No.
My kids hate when I talk to their friends, right? Or, you know, sort of.
I could imagine, because I'm sure you're a load of fun with them.
But just imagine when they would call and you'd pick up the phone and then they'd have to talk to you.
Hey, Mr.
Great.
Bertrand.
How about
Hi,
when
Kelly.
You were calling to ask a girl out and you had to, like, get a... Well, in my case, maybe I asked a boy out.
Yeah.
I know that's a little forward, but you had to kind of come up with a sample thing to say in case, like, their mom or dad answered.
Right.
Like, God, I hope their brother answers and not their mom or dad.
Right.
Now everybody has their own number.
Right. I know.
That's a good one.
Hey, Mr. Jameson, how about those Bears? Those Bears with the scoring and the not scoring, those Bears? All right, so a teenager will never know what that's like. I kind of liked the idea of, you know, my daughters have dated guys that I didn't meet for a while because there wasn't that phone moment, you know?
Yeah.
And also, a lot of guys were used to just, on a date, you would go to the house and you'd go to the door to pick them up. Now they know in advance, you know, because of cell phone, hey, I'm 2 minutes away, be ready. So that interaction
is gone.
Yeah,
but you could, as a parent, say, you know, I'd like to meet them.
Right.
Yeah, it's so aggravating when they sit in the driveway and text, come on out, I'm here.
Or come to the door. You could come to the door, too.
My mom always, you know, I would wait on the porch. So,
you
know, yeah. And then my mom would say, no, they have to come in. I need to meet them. I'm like, but then you're not going to let me go.
But now, oh, no. But on the adult side now, you see the reason behind that. There's just trust, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
Face-to-face meeting.
All right, here's another thing a teenager today will probably not understand. They haven't really lived through it the way we did. Standing in line for tickets. You know, they announce a concert is going to be held somewhere. You'd get up early. You'd go. For me, it was Montgomery Ward in Orleans
Carson
Square.
Perry Scott,
Carson
Perry Scott, North Riverside Park.
Yeah.
Especially for
Carson
you.
Yeah, well, Perry they Scott, closed today,
Yorktown.
So right.
But that's not true, because these kids wait in line for new iPhones and things like that, Michael Jordan shoes.
Yeah, for stuff like, yeah, right. That's that. For some reason, that
but
has
for
taken...
But for concert tickets, they just do it online.
Yeah.
And spend $800 for a weekend at Lollapalooza.
Seems right. Seems about right.
That's something we never did.
How about this one? Repurchasing worn-out albums or movies. You'd
they
see
do
that in
that
a lot
now.
Of stores. Are they still doing that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe to some extent, I guess. Yeah.
My kids do.
Waiting for a store to open.
I never
more
really
stores
did
are
that.
More stores now are 24/7 than they used to be, but there was a time where stores had a smaller window. 7-Elevens are called 7-Eleven because in the old days they opened at 7 and closed at 11.
What did you do between 11 and 7 on the other side?
You couldn't get a Slurpee.
Why didn't someone open 11-7?
Right next door.
Yes.
Put it right next door.
Right.
I like that. Having to share a family computer. Now, when the computers first came out, I was already too old to live at home, but I didn't have kids of my own yet, so it wasn't an issue for me. But I could see where if you were in a family with three or four or five or more, there was only one computer, yeah, you'd have to divvy up the computer time.
My brother, he had three kids, and he had a family computer in the family room, and really they'd have to take turns,
yeah.
And that's so foreign to me.
We had a thing where, and this was, I guess, because of dial-up, it's not like it is now, like if I would be trying to get something on eBay, and I'd be waiting, you know, the auction's 3 minutes away, it's 2 minutes away, it's 1 minute away, and then we'd get a phone call, I was knocked off the internet, I couldn't do it anymore.
Ah, the fun old days.
How about this one? Sitting through TV commercial breaks.
I still do sometimes, don't
you?
Do you?
I don't, I'll fast forward through, but if it's something that looks interesting, I'll go back and I'll watch it.
A guy in a bathtub?
White Castle. Oh,
like the White Castle ad, Steve. I've seen that over 150 times in the last 3 days. No, but if it's like an ad for a movie and I'll what is that? That looks good. I'll go back and watch it. Using unconventional methods to get video games to work. Do you know what this refers to?
No.
It doesn't work like this anymore because now games are on discs. But in the old days, if you had a cartridge that wasn't playing properly, there were different things like
you blow into
one side of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now with discs, the only thing is there could be a smudge on it, so you'd have to clean the smudge off, but it has nothing. It's nothing like the old days where you'd be blowing on the game, hopefully blowing any lint out of it.
Or sometimes they don't even have discs. They just download it right to their Xbox or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Boy, it's come a long way from Pong, hasn't it?
A long way. Yeah. How many vacations were ruined because somebody forgot to bring the camera? That was always a big thing. When we would go on vacation, we had a separate case that held not just the camera, but maybe a couple of extra lenses, an extra battery.
The bulbs.
Did you ever forget them? Because we never did.
There was always something that wasn't quite right. We'd forget something. You'd have to find a camera shop in whatever city you'd go to. And then if you were doing video, that was even a bigger thing.
And not a lot of people had video stuff.
Right. I still admire every once in a while we'll be somewhere and you'll see somebody take out a more elaborate camera and you just say, oh, good, that's very throwback. I hope you're getting better pictures out of it. Because almost everyone's using their phone, obviously.
Although they make the cameras now, Bill, that look like a 35 millimeter and they also take video.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Because when the kids were born, and I'm sure same with yours, you bought like a Sony camcorder.
Yeah, huge.
And now you have all these tapes that you have to somehow get transferred somewhere.
Always. All right, so these are things that today's teens probably won't understand, mostly because they didn't live through it the first time around. Losing touch with childhood friends. That's kind of obvious, I guess, because of Facebook or similar social media. If you really want to find somebody, like when we were kids, if somebody moved away,
you were done.
Kind of the end of it.
You'd try writing for a while, but that got old, like after one letter.
A couple of phone calls back and forth, but then at some point you just go, I think Mark has a whole new set of friends in Amarillo, Texas. I'm dead weight at this point.
Oh, poor little Billy. Yeah. He lost his friend Mark.
I used a fake name. His name was really Mark. So now, thanks to Facebook, that's easy. You can always keep up with an old friend. How about this one? Forgetting a birthday.
What?
You have so many reminders now. If it's somebody even remotely important to you in your life, Facebook will remind you that it's somebody's birthday, or you can put a reminder on your phone, you know, something in your calendar to let you know. Hey,
or just having a quiet birthday.
Right. Yeah.
Now everyone knows, everyone who really doesn't care sends you a birthday message.
Right. An animated thing with balloons and glitter and stuff like that. It was better in the old days because then you could say to yourself, the people who really care about me, those are the ones that remembered it was my birthday. Everybody else just being kind of spoon-fed that it's my birthday.
Were you upset with the people who didn't remember your birthday?
No.
I don't like my birthdays anymore.
I've always been kind of low-key for the birthdays. I don't like a big deal being had.
The worst one was when you were turning 50. You said off the air to me, you're like, Wendy, I'm serious. Do not bring up my birthday. Do not mention happy birthday. Don't do anything special for
my
birthday.
Hard day for me.
But then you turned 50 and you didn't feel any different, did you?
No, I did.
Really?
Because it's still weird to see that number and attribute it to myself, because in my head...
But you don't act it.
People have... No.
You don't act 20.
Thank you, Steve. But once the numbers get that high, I think those are like my great uncles and stuff are that age, not me. Or my parents' friends are that age. I can't be that age.
What are you going to do on the eve of your 60th birthday, Bill?
I don't want to talk about it.
Big party.
No. All right, so we've got more of these. These are things that today's teens will never understand. If you want to jump in by text or by phone, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. We're talking about things that teenagers today really don't know about.
This is put together by Country Living. Teens didn't experience it the first time around. We did. So these are things that probably hold very special memories for us. But a teenager would probably have no idea what we're talking about. Somebody from 630 area code says, how about this one? Rushing home to watch a TV show.
Yeah.
That was a big thing.
Or waking up early Saturday to watch cartoons.
Oh, yeah. Because
if you missed them, you had to wait a week.
I can't remember now which Christmas special it was, but one year, you know, I was so looking forward to seeing it, and I missed it, and then you have to wait a whole year to see it again.
You know, that was kind of a thing for me when we had kids watching Christmas shows and they had VHS tapes. I'm like, you can't watch The Grinch 15 times. You know, it's got to be special.
Right.
Really, it really bugged me.
Right.
Jen wants to talk to us. Sure. Hey, Jen.
Hey there. How are you guys?
Good.
We're good.
You got one of these, Jen?
Yeah, so I don't think that teens are ever going to know what TV is. I was in a multi-generational group yesterday, ranging from millennials to senior citizens, and there were three key questions. When the millennials were asked what their favorite television show was, they all answered YouTube.
Wow.
Not a show. When they were asked what their favorite radio station was, they either answered Spotify or Pandora.
Oh, no.
And when they were asked what their favorite news outlet was, they said the internet.
Wow. That just shows we have a lot of work to do.
We do.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Jen. Right back at
you. Sometimes I think, you know, it's standard now to have a widescreen TV, a huge TV. But think about it. When we were kids, if some kid had that, you'd spend all your time at that person's house, wouldn't you? You'd watch that all day, every day.
And did you have a little TV in your room, a little tiny one?
Yeah.
Because I used to whine about watching the small screen, but now I watch my iPad all the time.
Which is a way, way smaller screen. Because my dad was a buyer for a furniture and electronics store, we had technology many times years before anyone else did. So we had a VCR, honestly, about 2 years before most people knew they existed. And kids would come over. There were only 60 movies. There was a company called Magnetic Video. It was the only company that put out movies on videotape. And every time we'd get a movie, kids would come over and we'd watch the same movie two or three times in a row because it was miraculous.
Yeah.
Nobody heard of such a thing.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You'd go, remember the big rear projection TV?
Yes.
You'd go and watch those and you'd pretend it was a good picture even though it wasn't.
Right, but it was big.
Right in the middle. It was big.
Because we had one for a while.
Yeah.
When we got married, my in-laws bought us a 55-incher.
Took up the whole living room, right?
No.
No? That whole there wasn't there like a front section that had three colored lights? Our one had the three colored lights.
This was like a modernized version, but some of the like 80 and 100 screen ones still have that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was not a good picture. It really
Unless
wasn't.
You sat like dead center.
It still
center,
wasn't that great.
Still a little fluffy. Yeah.
I mean, and we had that TV. It was the no-def TV that I kept saying.
Right. Wendy, before we were talking about the video game cartridges and then the only way you could fix it was to blow on it. Several people asked if you could blow into the microphone again, but I don't think you should.
Get me some sliders and I will.
Should. No, I don't think it's a good idea.
Hi, Russ.
Hey, guys. These kids today, they're never going to be able to know the joy of having to sit and wait for an album to play out while you try to record it onto a cassette.
Right.
And I never bought the pre-made cassettes because they were real cheap quality. So, you know, you'd go on, you'd buy the nice Maxell metal tapes.
Oh,
And then you'd put the album on and start it. And you had to sit there and wait for that first side to play out and then stop it and then flip the album and then start recording again. And then the joy really happened when you went to play the cassette in your car and you wanted to find a song, and it was just a random stop, start, stop, start. And, well, you felt great when you just hit it right on the money at the right spot and that song started.
Yep.
Yeah, now they are into vinyl again, but not recording onto a cassette.
Nah, digital makes it so easy and quick and painless.
Yeah, thank you, Russ.
Yeah.
Thank you. I had to take him off because there was an echo.
A little reverb.
There. Every fourth phone call it happens.
I don't know why that is. The other thing that's kind of like that is, I'm sure you did this at some point, if there was a song that you really liked and you wanted to record it, you would have your radio station on and your finger near the play and record button to press them both down, trying your best to get it instead of spending the 97 cents for the single. Who has that kind of money to throw around? Not me.
Well, you didn't have a job when you were, you know,
as a kid? No.
10 years old.
No. This one is similar to the first or second one we mentioned of if somebody calls the house and wants to talk to somebody else in the house, that awkward exchange. This is one of not knowing who's calling. Think about it now because of caller ID. And do you have it on your television? Because we have when somebody calls the house, it says on the television who it is. But back then, every time the phone rang, it could be anybody in the world.
It was more exciting then, wasn't it?
It was way more exciting.
Now it's like you know, and you can go,
right.
I'll talk to him later.
Right.
Let it go to voicemail.
Yeah.
But when you drop your landline, you will no longer have it on your TV.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, because you don't, it goes through.
There's no way for that to be, like if somebody calls your cell phone, there's no way to have that transferred onto your TV?
No, it'll just be on your cell phone.
Oh, all right.
I think it's all a Comcast thing, isn't it? You have Comcast phone and.
Yeah.
Well, we had U-verse, but we dropped our landline finally. You and I were the last two people to have a landline.
I may be the last person in the United States who still has a landline.
And be honest with you. Oh, I know, actually, you don't like to talk on your cell phone.
No,
I don't. So, like, if it's after hours, call you on your home phone?
Yeah. But then I'll see that it's you on the TV and I won't pick up. So, but don't be hurt by that.
I won't.
Don't be hurt by it. What about this? Most teenagers wouldn't understand the joy in this. Sitting backwards in the car.
I never enjoyed that either.
I don't know if anyone enjoyed it. But
made me car sick.
It was only for station wagons, right? They would have
vans.
Oh yeah, I guess vans did too, right?
Yeah, that was a long, long time ago.
It was usually the station wagons with the wood.
Yeah.
I always sat back there. There were seven kids, and the last three always had to sit in the back.
Did you guys call it the way back, Mary? That's what.
Yeah,
it was
the way back.
The way back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved it. My sister got sick all the time, so I thought that was kind of funny. Unless she got sick on me.
This was my family's favorite thing. My brother and I would do this. You'd hold up a sign that said help or I'm being kidnapped or something. Oh, the fun we had.
Oh, yeah. We used to do really bad stuff.
You'd be at a stoplight and you'd just see people and you'd hold your hands out as though you had handcuffs on and you'd point at the people driving, your parents.
Getting semis to honk.
Right.
That was fun, but not pretending you were kidnapped.
Oh,
what is wrong with you?
That's just a good time.
But it was great when you had the seat to yourself, you know, because then you could sleep back there.
Right.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Before that seatbelt stuff.
No
seatbelt stuff. I've told this story before. There used to be, the way cars were situated, you had your front dashboard, but then in the back of the car, there was also like a dashboard area back there, not with any gadgetry on there. It was just a little landing space.
Where you put all your stuffed animals.
You could put stuffed animals or bobbleheads or whatever.
Kleenex box.
Well, when I was really little, I would lay back there and take a nap.
How little were you, or how big was your car?
Oh, I had a huge car. Ford LTD Brougham, bigger than the studio. Huge. I would lay back there, and my parents were fine with it. Mom, I'm so tired. Well, lay back there. All right.
My grandfather had this big old Catalina something, and I used to stand on the back at floor.
Right. I remember
And just,
doing
you know,
that.
Like right in the middle
Hold
of the...
Hold on to the headrest in front. Yeah. What bad could possibly come of that?
Yeah, but we survived.
I know. It's a
Although
miracle.
There were less cars
It's
then.
A miracle.
I know, it really is.
With no airbags or anything like that.
Well, we did, but a lot of other people didn't.
No,
yeah, I guess.
No,
yeah,
it's true.
We were the lucky ones. Good point,
lucky.
Steve.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news. Dr. John Duffy joins us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Steve, it's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN Radio and Dr. John Duffy in the studio with us, clinical psychologist, certified life coach, parenting, relationship expert, and host of a podcast called Better that he co-hosts with his wife, Julie Duffy. You can find that on WGN Plus and wherever your favorite podcasts are found. How are you, Dr. Duffy?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We were going to talk about grief, one of my favorite things, as Bill pointed
Wendy
out.
Wendy loves the grief.
I heard that. That was
a
very entertaining discussion.
Very
I didn't know you
fan.
Liked grief real
I
much,
I am
Wendy.
A huge fan.
Did you read Wendy's book, Good Grief? It's such a great read. Good summer read, John.
I'm going to pick that up this summer.
I will say that I have had a lot of grief in my life. My dad died when I was 10. I had a bunch of old, they were old great aunts that passed away, large family. And when my dog Tiki died, that was the first time my kids really experienced anyone close to them, albeit a pet.
Right.
And they said, you know, wow, Mom, you've got a lot of practice with grief. And I said, it's it hurts every time. You don't get used to it.
Right. And you can't really judge what's going to hurt more than something else? I remember my father grieving his dad, and it really affected him in a minimal way. When our dog passed away when I was in eighth grade, he was a wreck, and he was down for a week, and he judged himself for that for the rest of his life. And, you know, there's been some research done in the past 50 years that says, you know, the judging doesn't really help a whole lot. You know, like we all grieve differently. We've tried to, as psychologists, put grieving in a box where it's like, oh, you go through these five stages, it's really linear, and there's very little research to support that anybody ever goes through this in a linear fashion.
Do me a favor, go back for a second. Why was he so, he was disappointed? Is it because of the way he handled it? Is that what was disappointing him?
Yeah.
He was embarrassed.
I think he thought, wow, this, my dad must be a much bigger loss than the dog.
Right.
Why am I feeling that? But there were different circumstances in his life. When he was younger, he was raising kids, he had to get to work, and by the time our dog passed away, he was in a different point in his life. And
course.
So he could afford this degree of grief that he couldn't have afforded earlier in his life.
Yeah. Do you sometimes hold things back? Like my father passed away when I was 10, and in sophomore year in high school, I had three friends die in a private plane crash.
Uh-huh.
And that to me, I was more upset over that because they were young people, and then I felt guilty that I didn't feel that way for my dad. But I feel like, can you hold it up until it's released at a later death?
Definitely. I mean, that's the remarkable thing about grief is we all do it differently, and even individually within us, we do it differently. And so we might grieve one loss, and it happens immediately, and we absolutely fall apart. And for other losses, we might go months with thinking, you know, well, I don't think this is going to affect me. I think I'm fine. And then we fall apart, you know? And then as a third kind of note there, some cultures structure grief. You know, I worked with a Greek Orthodox family, and they had lost their grandmother. And literally for a year, it's determined how you're going to grieve. And there's these ceremonies every kind of month or so along the way that kind of drives how you grieve and how you let go of it at the end of the year.
And there's no right or wrong, because, Bill, I remember when Don Rickles died, it was like you got punched in the stomach.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you met him once, you were a fan of him forever, but that's normal too, right?
Is it normal? I hope it is.
It is.
Is it? Yeah.
Yes.
Lay this, down, Bill.
This is something else I think we judge ourselves for, is we grieve the loss of people we don't necessarily know really well. What got me thinking about this was Senator McCain and how many people felt so strongly. And I had a client on Monday who was like, why am I so affected? I didn't know this man. I don't really know exactly what his story is. And yet I'm broken by the loss of this guy. And I think it's just okay to feel like, well, I really honored this person. I don't know their entire story. And so I'm grieving them. And you can be several degrees of separation away from somebody who passes and still feel a great deal of grief from them. And I don't think there's any need to judge that.
What about this? What Wendy said is true. There have been people, now Mr. Rickles I only met the one time, but Gene Wilder I never met. I had a week after Gene Wilder died where all I could think about was, oh no, he's gone. It's so sad. You know, I love that guy. But then there have been a couple people, most notably John Belushi and Freddie Prinze, who, as I was grieving, I was also angry at them for kind of destroying their own lives.
Being careless.
Yeah. And Robin Williams, too, I got to be honest.
Right.
So what goes on there?
So we like to think that grief is linear, right? I feel sad because this person's gone. I'm going to miss them. But grief is really, really complex. And anger is a part of it we often want to dismiss because it feels wrong. This person's gone. I can't even express it toward them. But most of us, when we lose somebody, we feel some degree of anger at them.
Yeah.
And I think it's really helpful to express that to someone, you know, because otherwise you hold on to that. And grief kind of gone unchecked, even that anger piece, can lead to something like depression or anxiety or something more severe.
Yeah.
Jim's uncle Trent, who listened to us regularly, he lived in Corinth, Mississippi. Trent Holder passed away, and he had not been in great health for a while, but this just happened recently, and most of his friends are in Corinth, so that's where the memorial happened, and we will do a mass here in this area. But my boys, it's not finalized to them because there was no service. They've right. just said, we're not going to see Uncle Trent again. That totally sucks, but it's not sinking in.
This is becoming kind of a trend where people are saying, you know what, don't do much for me. I'll already be gone. Come and see me when I'm alive, and skip any ritual, any ceremony, wake, funeral, whatever. Forgetting that that's not for the dead, that's for the living, right? This is our ritual in order to get past things. So sometimes you can be right there in Mississippi, is that where yeah. Trent was? And you can memorialize him in the ritual where, you know, people are talking about him. Here, your boys might want to do something different. They might want to have a little ceremony on their own. They might want to plant a tree or, you know, do
that's
something,
a good idea.
Some ritual that kind of seals things up so that they feel like they can kind of assimilate the loss and move on with their lives.
Bill, I know you don't like wakes or funerals.
No.
And it is something to just kind of finalize. It seals the deal to let you know they're gone.
Right.
And it isn't for the person who passed away. It's for their family.
And kind of like, I think the visual, especially, you know, people have an aversion to the open casket. And, you know, and I share that too. And yet that visual kind of finalizes the reality, right? You know, because you've probably both talked to people who've said, I don't believe it. I still picture that he or she is going to be walking down the street and I'm going to see them. But there's something about that moment where you go and you kind of stand before that coffin or that urn and you realize, okay, this is a real thing. I have to accept it.
As much as I understand that, my argument is, with the limited space I have available in my brain, I like to think about them alive and vivacious and moving around and doing things as opposed to that last thought of them in the casket.
And it's hard to forget that
so
sometimes.
So hard to forget
it
that.
Is. It
so
is.
So hard.
And I think way too often in our culture, because we have a lot of ritual,
yeah.
we forget to honor the entirety of somebody's life.
Yeah.
We define them by their last moments, especially a guy like Belushi,
yeah.
you know, some of these guys who took their own lives or had a tragic ending of some kind, right? We forget, like, oh, there's this body of work and there was so much joy that they brought us, and we don't necessarily always focus on that. We focus on, oh, what a shame, what
yeah.
a tragedy. Robin Williams was 62 years old or something like that, had this massive body of work we still enjoy.
Sure.
And so we could still celebrate his life while still grieving his death.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Dr. John Duffy's here. We're talking about grief. If you want to join in, 312-981-7200, you can call us or text us there. It's Bill and Wendy. More after this on WGN.
We've got our bi-weekly. Is it a bi-weekly visit?
I think it's bi-weekly. I think that means every other week, not twice
semi-weekly
a week.
Semi-weekly right? would be the opposite. Right?
Yeah, right, yeah, right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, Dr. John Duffy is here. We are talking on the heels of John McCain's passing. And, you know, you had talked about Don Rickles and Gene Wilder, Bill, like
yeah.
when they passed away, you experienced deep grief. I was like that with Tom Petty.
Were you?
That just, I loved all his music. I grew up listening to that.
Yeah.
It just shocked me. Suddenly is what's so hard to deal with, but you think about it, it's probably better for the person who's passing away.
Oh, for sure. Right. And it's interesting because we have different reactions to people who die suddenly out of the blue. Tom Petty, right? Versus John McCain, where we've had time to kind of think about that and assimilate that before the fact. So I get the idea, you know, the Tom Petty thing, that's a shock. And so the whole grief process starts that day. And the first thing you have to work through is that really happened, you know, like,
right.
and, you know, like, then it just doesn't really make sense in what you're used to thinking and believing.
John, how in the world do people who have lost a child ever get over that? I can't imagine how you pull that off.
It's so brutally difficult, and I think any parent listening that I've ever worked with that lost a child would say you do not get over that.
Yeah.
You've got to find a way to move past it. You have to find a way to live. But that sits with you virtually every moment of every day. And my mother, as you know, lost a child.
Sure.
And the way she kind of worked through that is to work with other parents who lost children. And I think a lot of parents end up doing that just because nobody else understands what that's like,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that whereas a lot of losses we can kind of really assimilate and move forward with our lives, that's one where I think you have to kind of recognize this is going to be with me. This is going to be with me on a daily basis for every day until the end of time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Catherine has called us, 312-981-7200. Catherine, hello.
Hi. I hope I can keep it together. So if I start to cry, I'm sorry. But
no problem.
My husband passed away. Amazing man. Incredibly loved. 34 years of an amazing marriage. Went down in my kitchen with our son there, and I just can't get the scene out of my head of him passing away. And it's been 2 years now, but it is always with me. How do I move on?
Yeah, I totally, first of all, I'm so sorry for your loss, Catherine. I think we all are.
Thank you.
And I'm so glad you had him for 34 years because he sounds like an amazing guy.
He was amazing.
Yeah. And so one thing I would recommend, and I don't know if you've had the opportunity to do this, is to sit down with a professional who is used to dealing with grief and loss and talk it through, because I wouldn't expect anybody who has had a partner for that long to be able to just move on from it. I can imagine that that image just sits with you, and there is probably a way in working it through, talking it through, and focusing on some of the great times that you had preceding that moment, you know, to kind of put it in context that might not make it necessarily like something that you can just put behind you, but allow you the space to move forward, if that makes sense.
Does it make any sense if I said it feels like the air was kind of taken out of the world?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's actually beautifully put. And I think the best tribute you could probably bring is to bring the air back into your part of the world. You know what I mean? So if you can find a way to live your life in honor of the time that you spent together and in honor of your husband, what a way to bring some of the air back into the room and into the world.
Thank you.
And Catherine, I know it feels like there's a hole in your heart, because that's really what it feels like. And ultimately, that hole gets filled up with funny moments and lovely moments, and you go, oh, he was, what a funny guy that guy was. But it takes time, and 2 years is not too long. Everybody, it varies, doesn't it, Dr. Duffy?
It varies a lot, and I don't
want... It feels like it was yesterday.
I'm sure it does. And 2 years is a very short period of time, especially in the context of all the years that you spent together. And you know, I'm going to say the cliche that this does get better with time, but that doesn't mean you have to let him go, because sometimes we fear that, oh, if I'm not thinking about him all the time, somehow that memory is going to slip away. That's not been my experience. I think you can still hold on to him.
Just one more quick question. Sure. I haven't had the courage to move his clothing and shoes and everything out of our closet yet. When do I get the nerve up to do that?
My bias would be to talk to somebody before you even think about that. That's something that can sit and wait, as long as that doesn't bother you a whole lot. I've worked with some people who have done that for a decade, have decided, I really don't want to move anything for a while. I want to feel familiar in this space. I want to feel him here. And if that helps you feel him there, then that's okay, you know? But I suspect that there will be a point somewhere in your life where you're going to want to really kind of create a ritual where you move on from that as well.
Thank you. I'm so sorry to trouble you, but thank you for the great advice.
Oh, my gosh, not at all, Catherine.
It's no trouble. Catherine, we wish you the best, and we wish you strength.
Thank you.
Good luck, Catherine.
That's so hard.
Yeah. Real quick, John, I know we don't have a lot of time, and this deserves more time, but how normal is it to grieve years later and at various moments and just cry when you think of a person or events? That's an ongoing process, isn't it? There's no right or wrong time for that, is there?
Couldn't be more normal. And I actually think that's a great way for us to viscerally honor somebody when, you know, a memory strikes us or a visual strikes us.
Yeah.
You know, my dad loved vintage cars. And about a year ago, I saw this this mile-long Lincoln that I just said to my wife, you know, oh, man, Walt would love that car. And I fell apart for a minute. Yeah. And we pulled it back together, and it felt like, okay, he's with me for that minute, and then we can honor him. So if you're going through that, even years later, decades later, that is really healthy, actually.
Yeah.
I can only imagine, because you almost feel like you don't want to forget that person, and you'd be mad if you forgot them. So I feel like these moments happen to remind you, oh, yeah.
Right. And that's why we share some of these moments and the fun ones, especially with our kids, right? We want to keep that memory alive.
Wendy and I have discussed this so many times where around a birthday or a holiday, Mother's Day, you'll be walking in a shopping center, and in a corner of your eye, you'll see in a window some clothing piece that you go, oh, perfect for my mom. I'll just pick that up. Oh, wait a minute.
Yep. We forget sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually a really, really normal phenomenon as well. And it's okay to have that reminder in your mind. And keep in mind also that anniversaries, where you might have a time of year where you're like, you know, well, I lost somebody in the fall. And every fall I start to feel this little ennui, this little depression. Sure. And that sometimes is just an artifact of an anniversary of a loss. And it's okay to take a moment and honor that loss.
That's the key, is it's like at first when it would happen, especially with my mom or on Mother's Day or Christmas or her birthday, I think this is a bad thing. But it's not a bad thing.
Not at all. No. Not at all. No, I mean, I worry more when that doesn't happen, to be honest. Yeah.
And, you know, the stages of grief, as you mentioned, it's not linear. You can hit some stages at different points. And there's no time limit, right?
Not at all. Nope. And it's okay to move back and forth between those stages for a lifetime. Most of us probably will.
Is there a book you recommend? You haven't written about this, have you?
I have not written about
this. But is there a book that you'd recommend for this?
The seminal work on this is by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. It's called On Death and Dying.
Yeah.
It's a really good book. The caveat is to read it all the way through to the end, because she's added this addendum that suggests you don't have to go through this in a linear fashion. And this doesn't have to be about you dying, the loss of your life. It can be about the loss of somebody you love, or a pet, or a career, or even youth, you know, like she kind of broadens it quite a bit.
Right.
And again, Elizabeth
Kubler-Ross. Yes.
On Death and Dying.
Yes.
You're awesome. Dr. John Duffy, if you need to contact him, what's the best way to do it?
DrJohnDuffy.com.
Thanks, John.
Thank you very much.
Really
thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Tim, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. Bill and Wendy, 312-981-7200. We just talked about grief with Dr. John Duffy, and now in front of me on my computer screen, I have grief, Wendy. This isn't the loss of a loved one. This is the loss of one of my favorite restaurants. I've been gone for 5 days, so evidently this was a big story. I was out of town in Indy last week when this news was announced. I'm just seeing it now for the first time. Sabatino's restaurant is closing its doors after 49 years.
I've seen sob stories. Dean Richards paid tribute to it. I don't know what it is.
It you know, on the show a couple times we've mentioned how every once in a while, you'll find a restaurant that has like a retro throwback feel, where as you walk through the doors, you're magically transported to another time. The supper clubs that we talk about, Ishnala most notably in Wisconsin, when you go in there, you go, okay, I know it's 2018, but somehow it's also, you know, fill in the date or the year. You go, how can this place still exist in another time and still be here now? And Sabatino's is like that. When you go into Sabatino's, I know this will sound disrespectful, and for several different reasons, I don't want it to sound disrespectful. You know the scene in Goodfellas, that tracking shot where
I love it.
You kind of meet everybody in the restaurant?
Yeah.
That is, like when you walk through Sabatino's, you get that feeling, that Goodfellas-y feeling of, hey, Jimmy Two Times, how are you? Nice to see you, you know? It's such a great place because you're time traveling. The food's awesome, but you're also going back in time.
I just love that scene because, and then he kissed me was just,
right.
It's just the most perfect scene ever.
Right.
And now I'm really upset I never went to Sabatino's.
Here's even though it's horrible news that Sabatino's is closing, the good news is they're not closing until December 23rd. I urge you to
visit. I'm sure it's already booked.
Sabatino's, the Italian, this is from the Chicago Tribune 5 days ago. Sabatino's, the Italian-American restaurant known for veal parmigiana, flaming steak, Diana, and strolling musicians, will close after 49 years of serving generations of families, celebrating countless milestones in the northwest side suburb of Old Irving Park. Our last day will be December 23rd, said Angelo. Help me with the pronunciation here. It's spelled P-A-G-N-I. Is that Pagni or is it?
P-A-G-N-I.
Yeah.
Pagni.
Pagni?
I don't know.
Angelo Pagni or Pagni, age 68, the co-owner, along with his brother Enzo, who is 64. We told our employees on Wednesday. Now, this is strange because for the last maybe year to year and a half, there had been rumblings that they would close. But if you ever asked anybody in there, they would say, oh, no, just rumors. Nothing to worry about. Everything's nothing to see here. Everything's fine.
That makes it sadder to me.
Doesn't it?
Yes. Like maybe they were doing everything in their power to not close.
To keep it open. Well,
or they just said it's time to retire.
I can't figure it out because I don't remember ever being in there. And sometimes late at night where they're not really, really busy. I mean, I know it's believe me, it's impossible
to run a restaurant. A lot of choices these days.
There are a lot of choices. But if you were going for authentic 1950s, 1960s feeling Italian food, I don't know how you would have done better than this place. It had everything, including, now this is something, I know this will sound strange, and you go, would you base a restaurant on this? But yes, I would. Remember when we were kids, you'd go to a restaurant and there were desserts that were a little off the beaten path, like Cherry's Flambé, where they actually prepare it at the table and there's a giant fire and you go, well, somebody's going to burn to a cinder, right. But I really enjoy the flavor of Cherry's Flambé. They still did that. Like there were a bunch of these specialty desserts that at the end of the meal, the waiter would come over with a special tray and all of a sudden, you know, you see flames and you see flavors and it was just so good.
I gotta go.
Oh, it's so sad.
Do they have the zuppa di mare, which is
they
just
do.
I love that
they
with the
do.
Clams and the mussels,
yeah.
And the shrimp
they
and
do.
The I guess that's it. Octopus.
Yeah, squid. It's so good. We told our employees on Wednesday, said Angelo Pagni. He said this Thursday night. I wanted them to hear it first from me. Aww. Why this particular date and not the end of the year? Yeah, you'd say to yourself, go for 50 years, right? You hit the 49 mark. You're almost there. Go for 50. Because a lot of people, especially in this business, were never able to spend a Christmas with their families. That's why they're closing a few days prior to Christmas. Sabatino's is not closing for lack of business, said Pagni. That's my question. I'm getting older and it's time, he said. It's not old, but it's older to keep up in the way that we've run this place. Hands-on, that's the way we are. It gets harder and harder every day. I've done it for 57 years, 41 years here, and 11 years before that. That is a long time.
And, you know, I've jokingly said I love to cook. I'd love to own a restaurant. And every time I bring that up to somebody who owns a restaurant, they're like, be prepared to work 24/7, 365 days a year.
Yep.
It's your place. You're constantly working.
Yeah. You know what? Here's another one of the cool things about Sabatino's. Get it while you can, folks, because December 23rd is closing down. Every room there has a different personality.
Oh.
Now, it's all done. It's a very, very thick Italian-themed restaurant, no doubt about it. As you walk through there, there's no question you're in an Italian restaurant. But every room, and it's a cavernous place. I mean, you walk through, when you first walk in the door, you walk through this bar area that, again, seems like you have gone back in time. They haven't done much to remodel it. And I'm so glad that they haven't, because I like that feel. But then once you are escorted by your maitre d' to a different room, it's just a very different atmosphere in each of the rooms. Some are bigger and more airy. Some are a little more cramped. There's one room where the tables are almost practically right on top of each other. I'm fine with that. It's the kind of restaurant they just plain out don't make anymore, you know? There's
that's
nothing new coming down the pike where you go, oh, that's like the new Sabatino's. There is no new Sabatino's. What made it so amazing was the throwback feel to it all.
It feels homey when it's a place
like
that.
Yeah.
Catherine's on the line. Hi, Catherine.
Oh, hello, you guys. I love you so much. You know, we were talking about a year and a half ago. Yes, there was rumor they were closing, but they were closing for lunch and opening at 4 o'clock.
Oh.
Now I'm really sad to hear that my dad had my grandmother's birthday. Her 100th birthday party was there upstairs.
Oh.
I mean, we've been going there for probably 30 years. I mean, the place is just awesome. The food is so good. And now I'm sad. I'm going to have to tell my dad when he comes back from Michigan. We got to go to San Martino's.
You have till December 23rd, and I'm going to arm wrestle you for a table.
Oh, man. Let's go on the same day.
All right. That'll be fun.
Let's make it a date.
Catherine, do you love this part of it? Because this is one of my favorite parts, and it's idiotic, but I love this part. When you first go in, it's really cramped when you go up to the maitre d' desk to tell them how many people are there and how many you need at your table. And everyone has to kind of bend around each other, and there's wait staff coming in and out of the kitchen. I love that.
You know, I do too, because it's like kind of old school Italian, I guess. I mean, you've got to be alert when you're there. And, you know, I did work in the, you know, restaurant industry. If somebody, in back of you, in back of you. Yep, so I'm always going to go to the bathroom, in back of you, in back of you, because people are walking out with plates all the way up their arms. And it's like, oh my God. Yeah, it was awesome, man. We've had so many birthday parties there. And my dad's one cousin was in Michigan. He's going to have to come back in because he was here last year. I'm like, well, now it's closing for good. We got to get Bud back in here. We got to go to San Martino's.
Yeah, you got to go. Catherine, thank you so much, Catherine, for calling.
Oh, thank you for listening. Yeah, have a good day.
Take care.
No, thank you for listening. And here's a text that's taken us both down. Wendy, do you ever leave the suburbs? No. Sabatino's is not going away because of business. They want to retire. Keep up with the five-day-old news. I believe Bill mentioned that you weren't here.
I was out of town. I had no idea. I just now saw it online. And it made my heart stop for a little bit, because that's one of those places I always wanted to exist, you know? We only get there like once or twice a year, but it's always like such an event when we go. It's one of those places here. I think this will sell it more than anything. You know how most restaurants you go to and you say to yourself, I'm probably going to be there for an hour to an hour and a half, right? That's about how long the meal will take, about 90 minutes, 60 to 90 minutes. When you go there, two and a half hours, three hours, not a problem at all. They're not rushing you. They know you're there to enjoy your time, have a good meal, talk it out. No one's pushing you. I love that.
That is good. A nice leisurely. But there are sometimes you want a dinner like that, and there are sometimes. Do you remember being a kid when your parents would be?
When are we gonna go?
Oh, yeah, I'm like, can I wait in the car?
I know.
Can I go throw pennies in the koi pond?
How long can this possibly take?
Right.
For lasagna. Oh, and so many courses, too. That's the other thing. It's not a quick, here's your salad.
Here's your soup, salad.
All kind of, yeah, they're bringing more and more stuff all the time. Oh, this is such sad news. All right, so Sabatino's closing after 49 years.
It was a good run.
December 23rd is their last date. If you haven't been there yet, go there now. Invite Wendy. She hasn't been there. Invite me. I'll tell you what to get. The breadsticks are good. All right, we'll take a quick break.
The breadsticks. They got everything on the menu.
Try the breadsticks, Wendy. No, I've never had, honestly, every time I've gone there, I've tried something different, and I've never been disappointed once.
That's a great testament.
Everything's good. All right, a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN. I owe you an apology.
For what?
I've made you very hungry. Not my intention, but I have made you very hungry. That's obvious, and I'm sorry for that.
Well, seriously, you talk about Sliders, White Castle at the beginning of the show, and now all I can think about is baby lobster, shrimp, calamari, scallops, and clams cooked in a thin tomato sauce over linguine at Sabatino's.
Yeah, doesn't that sound good?
I'd like them to add mussels if that would be possible.
I think they would do that for you. They're very accommodating there. Several people texted in to say that Ro had the owners on last week. I was out toward the end of last week, so I didn't get to hear that.
You don't listen to
Ro. I'll find that in the archives. No, I do. I do. but I'm anxious to hear their take on all this. And I'm trying to, in my head, figure out what it is about those restaurants. I mentioned Ishnala, the supper club in Wisconsin, where when you go in, even though you know it's 2018, once you walk through those doors, it's not anymore. It's a different time. Sabatino's is like that. There's a Chinese restaurant in, I guess it would be Rogers Park, I think, or maybe Andersonville, Wing Ho, that everything about Wing Ho, from the way the building is structured to the menu to the wait staff, it's another decade. It's not modern day anymore. You go back in time. And I never know if owners do that intentionally, if they go, yeah, let's go for that kind of a feel. People like that. Or if it's just something that I'm a fan of.
Or maybe they just didn't want to pay for redecorating.
That could be the easy option, yeah.
But isn't that a comfort to you? It's like when you see something from way back, it's comforting to you.
It's like, you know what it is? It's not so much comforting as it is a novelty. You know, every once in a while, I get this when I'm in New England. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in and around New England where they just haven't updated it. They haven't changed it. And maybe it is for cost reasons, but you'll see a sign for something from the 40s or the 50s up somewhere, and you go, that's still there? How did that happen that's still there? That's how I feel with these restaurants. When I go in them, I just go, I love the fact that they just stuck with it. They didn't change their minds.
There's a place in, I don't know where it is. It's in between Memphis and Corinth, Mississippi. It's called the Catfish Hotel, Hagee's Catfish Hotel. It's the same thing. It's an old hotel, but it's all old school, and they have the best fried catfish I have ever had in my entire life.
So when you're in there, isn't that, it's such a cool... It is. I always describe it as time travel. You know what I mean, throwback, right?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. All right, now I want Chinese food, White Castles.
And Sabatino's.
Pasta.
Yeah.
And some catfish.
Yeah.
While I'm at it.
And go to the supper clubs. That I don't understand, and people have asked me this before, because whenever I talk about them, I always get a text or two saying this. What is it about Wisconsin that keeps that culture alive, that supper club culture alive? And I don't know the answer to that. I know there's been a couple of books written about it. Dave Hoekstra, who we've had on the show, has written a book about it, and there's a couple of other books written about it. And I'm not sure what it is about the state of Wisconsin that just refused to let those institutions go. But when you're in one, if you're a fan of that, you're in heaven. It's just perfect, you know?
That's just that throwback. Plus, it was a ton of food, and you felt special when you were there.
Yeah.
And drinks were, you know, made really well and strong.
Yeah.
Texter Bill has a question for you.
Sure.
When you go to a seafood place, do you watch Prawn?
I don't know what that means.
Instead of porn.
Oh, is that what he was going for?
Yeah. Right. Oh, my God.
What restaurant shows porn while you're sitting in the restaurant?
Prawn.
That doesn't happen. All right. The other part of this that a lot of these places have in common, you know this already. When I was a kid, my grandparents had a restaurant called Adolph's. It was a famous Italian restaurant on Rush Street. Had it for years and years. And the one thing that I watched as a kid was that my grandfather and sometimes grandmother would, during the course of the night, they would go from table to table.
I love that.
And spend time with the people who were there. And I know why, as times have changed, that has kind of gone out of style, because you're supposed to be in the kitchen running things. But my grandfather always thought that's an important part of
it.
If people are nice enough to come in, I'm going to spend some time with them.
We were somewhere, recently with my family, and the owner came and pulled up a chair and said, everything good? Is there anything I can get you? And we were surprised yet happy that he was there. And it
Does
makes
that feel
you,
good?
Here's me. It makes me want to come back. I can't remember where it was. It was just so unusual, though, but I truly liked it.
Yeah.
I don't remember where that was.
So why do you think that went away? What happened over time where restaurateurs went, I can let that part of the business go. I don't need to spend time with the people who come out to the restaurant. What happened there, do you think?
I just wonder if they're, you know, have several restaurants and maybe are spreading themselves
too
thin.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. I still get it every once in a while, but it's nothing like it used to be. You know, it used to be that was not commonplace, but it happened often enough to where you go, oh, that's part of eating out, is the owner comes by or the chef comes out and talks to you for a couple of minutes. Do you like this? Do you like, we're trying this? What do you think of this?
I remember where it was. It was Olive Garden. He came and pulled up a chair and said, we treat you like family.
Yeah, your family.
It wasn't. Funny texter, Wendy at McDonald's doesn't count. Whatever.
A clown came to our table and asked us if we were enjoying our meal. And a giant furry purple man. It was incredible.
Grimace.
Grimace.
I forgot who that was.
Yeah. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a quick break. Now, you know the drill. At 12, Wendy and I go to the stream. We'd love to have you join us. Go to WGNradio.com. It's very easy to do. You can listen for the bonus hour. We have a good time there. Or stick around here for the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve. We'll talk to him next and find out what he has coming up. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.